Hello. All right. There we go. Okay, so this chart has Aries in the, this is Aries in the fifth house. All right. Now, before I go any further, here's the chart, and it has the aspects which will not be discussed in this recording. Okay, we're only going to focus on the planets, zodiac signs, and the houses. All right. Now, each planet can be considered a potential. Each planet represents a potential to accomplish something in a certain area in this lifetime. All right. Now, the zodiac signs, those are influences that are expressed by the individual based on where the energies are, or at when I use a lifeline, and it's more of a progressive chart analysis, we can determine the type of expression that will be that will be exhibited, and then this can create habits and patterns, especially early in life and in the first quadrant, which I'll talk about in a minute. All right, now the houses, based off the house size, will determine what needs to be worked on in this lifetime. Okay, smaller houses are areas that have a need to be worked on. A balanced house is 30 degrees. The entire chart is 360 degrees. There's 12 houses. So we get a general idea with the houses where we are coming from that represent other lifetimes. All right. So the big houses that we may see, for example, house, the eighth house, the ninth house, yeah, the ninth house. In previous lifetimes, that area was focused on and worked. Lots of experience with ninth house characteristics have played out, and this individual has a lot of experience that's already in the subconsciousness of this individual. All right. It can be channeled and played out in this lifetime. You just get quiet and bring those impressions that are already there to the surface. So, in short, the house size can represent the past. The zodiac sign can represent the present moment. And the planets can represent the future, the intents. Okay. The intentions. I like to show this image before I show the chart because the ascendant's very important. Right. The ascendant is basically the qualities that we will exhibit day to day on a daily basis throughout the course of our life. It's the consciousness of self. All right. The descendant, consciousness of others. The nadir is the inner consciousness, the intuitional awareness, the objective plane, the subject. The subconscious realm. The top half of the chart is the objective vantage point, and also the midheaven heaven can be considered the outer consciousness. So I think it's important for us to know that the midheaven is the way we Is it the way we express ourself to do things better? And it's experimental. Okay. It's on the cusp of the 10th house, which is how we present ourselves to the world, how we present ourselves to the outer world. And this energy is mostly behind many of the choices that we make and intend to make in our lifetime. The choices. Now, this again, the ascendant, that's more of the qualities that will automatically play out on a day-to-day basis. All right. Here is a snapshot of the description of the houses. And this is the ascendant is Scorpio. Let's go to the next chart. Here we go. We got Scorpio is the ascendant. And this chart's interesting because, and by the way, I'll talk about the quadrants in the next slide, but I like for all the planets and the asteroids, the North Node, the South Node, Crion, the Chiron, and the Black Moon Lilith, part of Fortune. All of the symbols for this particular chart is here and available. Just for the subconscious to take a snapshot. Okay. But we're only going to focus on the 10 planets, the 10 major planetary archetypes. Right. So, again, the first quadrant is the personal development, and Scorpio is the ascendant. This means that Scorpio is the ruling zodiac sign of the quadrant. The ruling planet of Scorpio, or I should say that Terahkee 13 is assigned to Scorpio, or Scorpio is assigned to Terahkee 13. And the ruling planet for Scorpio is Pluto. It's right here in the first house. This individual is automatically, I can see from the leading planet and the Scorpio ascendant, is a very intense individual because Pluto is the source of power for this chart. And it's in the first house, the I am house. And Pluto in the first house means that there's going to be cycles in this lifetime, and over time, there are going to be many aspects of this personality that will gradually reshape. All right. They will change. It's a transformative energy. It's also a regenerative energy. Okay, so there may be a lot of painful experiences, but these experiences are going to build strong foundations for the transformative process. There's going to be lots of opportunities for these forces that have shaped this personality and made them for what they are to have greater control over the unconscious drives. What this means is the urges, the compulsions, the irrational impulses, they will need to be identified, or else this Pluto force is going to be very intense. It's basically the higher octave of Mars. Right, Mars energy is already intense, and Pluto's the higher octave. So, for personal development in this lifetime, to gain greater control over these projections and how the subconscious receives impressions from the individual will need to be very carefully analyzed. Okay. But I would like to say that in this lifetime, with Pluto in the first house, self-improvement, okay, self-development is going to be paramount and very, very important. There's just no way around it. And so there might be a lot of people who may not enjoy some of the self-expressions that this individual has, how they express themselves emotionally, especially. But that's not this person's concern. Okay. It's important that when they go deep and they understand themselves, and those primitive urges come up, they have to be expressed one way or another. How it's done, I don't have the answer, but the emotions and the expressions have to come out and not stuffed down. They have to be dealt with, especially in early to middle age of this lifetime, the bottom half, the subjective part of the chart. It should be taken care of the sooner the better. Now, there's going to be tests and trials. That's what life is all about. But know that total regeneration of the self and inner workings are very important. All right. So, normally what I do is I will draw a little arrow for the cusp to the planet ruler. Just like that, but it's right there. So let's move on to, hang on. So your first quadrant is a large quadrant, okay? So it's already well developed. You have a small sixth house and fifth house, and I'll talk about that in a minute. You also have, this is such a tricky chart. It really is when I look at it. And I say tricky because I see what's called some intercepts. All right. In this second quadrant, this fifth house, your self-expression house, also has your sunlight or your sun. And this is the house you want to shine light towards as an Aries. Yeah, this is a fiery personality, but there's what's called an intercept here. This house is, if you see the lines, are trapped within the zodiac sign. Okay. This means, without going too deep into the intercepts and duplicated zodiac signs, that the 11th house and the fifth house don't have access to them. To each other to balance themselves out. Normally, what happens is Libra will balance out Aries, and Aries will balance out Libra, but the house is smaller than the zodiac sign. And this means that the individual will have to sort of go through the Piscean door to access the Aries expressions. Okay. I'm trying to give a visual, but intercepts normally don't get played out until when we use the lifeline later in life. So at early childhood, up in the Aries energies were probably jammed within self, but it's not until they reach this family development quadrant, which is probably around age 40. Yeah. 40. Now, this intercept and this the Aries expression, the Venus and the Sun will be will be activated, and this individual will be very Aries-like, probably just built up energy that needs to come out. All right, so these are just meanings that I'm speaking out freely from the symbols I see. But let me back up a little bit. Let's get back on track. This cusp in the second quadrant is 29 degrees and 53 seconds. It's just 7 seconds away from entering Pisces. This means that Aquarius rules the entire family development quadrant. Okay, hopefully you can see this. Because each zodiac sign is 30 degrees, right? 30 degrees, 30 degrees. And then the Midheaven and the Nadir, you can see like a sliver of yellow and a sliver of red right here. Aquarius rules the family development. Let me draw a line. What is the ruling planet for Aquarius? Uranus. Okay. Now, I failed to mention in the quadrant system. To put it simply, when it comes to personal development, if you're having sort of an off day or an off week, off month, then the clue to sort of get back in flow for wherever, whatever phase in life that is being experienced or cycle, the ruler of the quadrant, it's easier if I just go ahead and stick with the second quadrant, family development. The ruler of the quadrant, the ruling planet, will help balance out the development for that quadrant. Okay, even though maybe in Pisces, the lifeline, we're moving along here, living our life, going through cycles, might be the Mars is activated, the Mercury. But know that when it comes to family development, we can find the ruling planet of Uranus, which is in Capricorn, second house, right? Second house characteristics, emotional body, self-value, self-sustainment. It will be important when it comes to family development with Uranus planetary attributions that you can reference your second house of these characteristics, and that should help get back in flow state for the family development process. All right. Because it's so important to have its self-expression to get the emotional body moving. All right. Second house is the development of the emotional body. First house is the physical body development. Second house, emotional body. Third house is the mental body development. And then we move into the second quadrant. But with Uranus being in your second house, think about, especially with a Scorpio ascendant, maintaining and respecting your emotional body is going to be important to try not to keep secrets and keep people in the dark. Because that's what the emotional body will do. It will take in, create the constrictions, energy constrictions within that will stay there. And this could cause health problems, which we don't want, right? We want alignment within the heart of the divine will along with divine spirit. And that's when we're healthy, we're vitalized, we're flowing, And we're actually the fool in the center of the chart. We're balanced. We're super consciousness. We all have the fool, the self, the super consciousness within us. But we come in with a unbalanced chart, and the goal is to balance it. All right, so we have the third quadrant, which is your social development. No planets. No planets. That's okay. But there still is a ruler, right? A ruling planet for this well-developed quadrant of social development. And this means in previous lifetimes, there was quite a bit work done here. And so the subconsciousness is well developed when it comes to social development. But Venus is the ruling planet. And once again, going back into the Aries, the intercepted Aries, yeah, that's tricky because intercept Aries means you have to work with through Pisces. But later in life, when you're 52 years old and you begin your second half of your life, the ascendant or the descendant, then this Aries Libra unbalanced issue early in life should be balanced by then. All right. But Aries and Venus, when it comes to consciousness of others and relationships and social development, those are some good symbols to think about. All right, now career development. Once again, we have that 7 minutes, just like down here at the bottom with Aquarius. Leo is the midheaven. All right. And that means that the sun, back to the intercepted Aries. This is a difficult chart. Oh man. I would be interested to know more about this individual and I do have to say, for this for one who asked for their chart to be read, I'm glad you're a 4-1 because we do have fixed fate, and this I would assume this chart would be very difficult, if not a 4-1. Now, life is gonna throw us our tests and trials, but on paper, looking at this chart, it's no joke. So, when it comes to career development, you have Jupiter and the Moon in the 10th house. Okay, the Moon, not only does it represent emotions and but it let's see there we go but it also represents change. Okay, it's important to allow change in this particular area of the chart. 10th house. 10th house is career, clarity of purpose. How we represent ourselves to the public and self-mastery. Now, if you're able to really hone in on this personal development and family development, and basically know thyself, accept thyself, you will become the creator. All right? The Tarot keys. I'll just quickly talk about them. So, key 13, Scorpio is assigned to key 13. Aquarius is assigned to key 17. Taurus is assigned to key 5. And Leo is assigned to key 8. These are the chart rulers. These tarot keys are great for the subconscious to take a snapshot of, because tarot has been in the collective consciousness of humanity for many millennia. All right. Our subconscious knows what these symbols are. Now we can choose to spend more time with tarot and learn the symbols within the symbol, because there's hundreds more within each tarot key, and they all have their universal meanings and universal truths that will allow the subconscious to unfold, right? We want spiritual unfoldment and eventually take off the ignorance that we carry, right? We all have our ignorance, and we want to wear the white robe, like this woman figure in Key 8. She actually represents the subconscious. Okay. She and white represents purity. She's holding the lion's mouth open with ease. She's got complete control over her animal nature, or the compulsions that normally arise from our subconsciousness. All right. And let me close real quick by talking about vibrational astrology. Your strongest harmonic in your chart is the 291st vibe. Now, vibrational astrology is nothing more than we take your natal chart, which is your considered your first vibe. All right. That's this one right here. It's your natal chart, first vibe. When we incarnate, we carry in our first vibration, or the first vibe, and it stays with us our entire life. It will modulate, it will ebb and flow, and it's not static. But that is what we agreed to bring in with us when we came into to participate in the collective consciousness of humanity and the planetary logos, growing the consciousness individually, as a collective, and for the planet and for the solar system. Let's not forget about the solar logos. It keeps going and going, but we'll stop there. All right, now going back to vibrational astrology, it's nothing more than taking the natal chart and magnifying the chart. We now have computers and software that can do the multiplication for us, but it multiplies all the angles between all the planets by the vibe and magnifies orbs of any aspects. Here's some descriptions and the minor arcana key assigned to your 291st harmonic is the Lord of Ruin. And this is not your chart. Oh yeah, it is. It's the 291st vibe. But going back to your Scorpio ascendant, this Lord of Ruin sort of makes sense. Through difficulty and pain, we'll achieve acceptance, wisdom, and renewal with strong foundations that are built from the ruins. All right. So that was a very quick analysis. And, but just know that the natal chart is a tool. Okay. We are immortal. We are spirit and body. We are here to create experiences. We have Christ consciousness within us. We're very powerful divine sparks. But the power behind the symbols and the vibrations that we can extract from our what I call astrology analysis, it helps us identify within us patterns and habits that have been created that we can let go of, right? Even meanings that we apply to the outside, we can let go of them. We want to expand our awareness and grow our consciousness. And by being here on Earth while the planetary logos consciousness is already evolved and we're moving with it, we can all grow together. All right. And being 4-1, I would be curious about the juxtaposition cross, But I normally keep astrology and human design separate, two different modalities, even though they coincide together. I like to look at symbols and speak freely about them and hopefully help others with their own self-empowerment, right? All right, that's enough. Thank you.